Hi everyone, welcome to Intuitive Awakening. My name is Dina and thank you for listening to my podcast today. I'm very appreciative that you're on the other line and I'm appreciative that you're listening. Today, I thought I would talk a little bit about meditation. I actually wasn't really sure what my topic was going to be and I've been thinking about it all morning and I just got the impression that this is what I was supposed to talk about. So, last podcast, I gave you kind of a very broad and not comprehensive overview of the New Age movement. Reason being is because I get the impression that a lot of people who I've had the privilege of talking to and who listen to me talk in general are kind of shifting into a different belief system, shifting into a different way of looking at the world, trying to approach things differently. And are really looking to really change their reality or at least their perspective on things. However, I also believe that a majority of you all were raised in some capacity with a Christian mindset. And again, it's hard to kind of jump into something really new. So I wanted to give you a little bit of my experience of what that was like moving into that movement. Obviously, I'll be giving you way more details as we move along, but meditation is really a big part of this movement. Actually, I would say it makes up the entire movement, right? Because everything that you read tells you, oh, meditate. You know, you want to develop your gifts, meditate. You want a closer relationship to God, meditate. You know, you're looking for your own answers to questions that you are unable to solve for yourself. Meditate, go within. And I know that it's like a complete go-to answer, if you will, when you're asking questions or, you know, if you're seeking something, chances are you'll run into a teacher, a friend, you know, or whoever it is that you're collaborating with or working with for your own spiritual development. That's pretty much going to tell you, go within for answers. And it's, after a while, it becomes very irritating to hear that because, you know, I think that a lot of us, we try to go within, but our egos, you know, that part of us, the intellect part of us, that fearful part of us speaks very, very loudly. So sometimes it's really hard to try to get those answers. So I really wanted to provide you today my experience of what it has been like to meditate, how it began, and even kind of like where it is, I would say maybe as of today. So I'm gonna take you back. God, I guess it was 7 years ago when I actually began and I didn't know what the hell I was doing. So as I told you all, I've always had experiences growing up where spirits were talking to me and I was extremely fearful. I've had it my whole life. Some of the voices are a lot louder. Some of them are a little bit scary. You know, it's just, it varies, right? So as I got older, you know, I told you I tried to completely ignore everything that was occurring because I was just scared out of my mind 24/7. They never went away. They've always been hanging out in my room. I think they've been hanging out everywhere. It's just when I was alone and when I was in the bed, because when you go to bed, you know, you kind of fall into that meditative state. And then it's easier for your mind to, you know, relax and then for you to receive. So yeah, you're more in that receptive state to getting that information. So I was so used to hearing stuff every night. It was just the norm for me. And I didn't know what to do. I was just desperate for answers. And I never went to that rock store. I told you all, I never went to Nature's Treasures in Austin, Texas. I'm going to give them a shout out because I never went until like 2 years ago, which is just insane to me how hard my guide tried. Anywho, my soul was still looking for answers, okay? Even though I didn't respond to my guide, even though I didn't go down that path because I was so sure that I was already condemned, you know, to the afterlife of hell, just in general anyway, I definitely wasn't going to try to get there, you know, faster by looking into occultism or, you know, the psychic world, New Age. None of that was even like within my purview. However, I'm trying to remember the exact moment where I personally started just meditating. And I remember the first day. And I would say in the early 2000s really is where I think the Western world, where meditation became like very, very trendy. And a lot of people, I would say on the West Coast, and probably more on the East Coast, but more dominantly on the West Coast, where the New Age movement was really huge, especially in the Bay Area and in LA, meditation was becoming mainstream. And so I swear it was like on Oprah or some sort of talk show one day where I heard about meditation and how, you know, this is becoming a normal practice for people. Not necessarily in a sense for answers or to do psychic work, but just as a general practice for bringing peace to the mind, having, you know, harmonious practice in the morning, just for like stability. So I remember reading about it here and there, conversations really casual surrounding the practice. And obviously it is, you know, slowly infiltrating this American population, right? And I never did it because I didn't know what it was about. I didn't understand the practice. I really didn't believe that sitting for 15 minutes with your eyes closed was going to bring anything to you, right, but sleep. However, I had two lives. I had the life where I was going to school, I was teaching, you know, I was doing my research, and then I had going home where I had all of these very scary experiences consistently, and I didn't really know. I really just didn't know what to do. I was just at a crossroads in my life. I didn't know what to do because I just didn't know how to move forward. I prayed, but when I prayed, I always prayed to God for protection because I was so terrified. I didn't think to even pray, God, guide me to solving this mystery. It never crossed my mind because it was already solved. That's the thing with I can only speak to my personal experience with Christianity, is that the Bible gives you all the answers that you need. That's it. Why are you questioning? You know, why would I think to question and ask for guidance on that when it was already, you know, told to me in the Old Testament, here are the answers. Like, don't do this. Are you crazy? You know, here's the definitive truth. So it didn't occur to me. However, I remember one day coming home from school, and I was in graduate school at the time, so it was many years later, that I've been dealing, you know, with these dissonant voices that, I remember coming home from school and I sat down on the living room floor. I just sat down and I closed my eyes and I said, you know, to God, I was like, what's happening to me? I was very unhappy in life in general. I knew something was off with the direction that I had chosen. And I also had this other side going on. And it didn't occur to me when I sat down to close my eyes that practice itself, that initial step, if you will, although that wasn't my intention, was really the beginning of my truth, or the beginning of this journey, to be honest. So when I sat down, and I was sitting on the floor, like it was really cold, I didn't care. I was so miserable in school. However, I also knew that these voices were not going to leave me alone. And then there was something else on top of that, which I'm going to add to this later, that was happening in a very supernatural, if you will, way. I sat down and I was just like, God, show me, please help me. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know why these things are happening to me. I don't know why, like, the devil wants me so bad. You know, I sound psychotic. And I remember I sat down and I was saying all this stuff and I just took a deep breath and I closed my eyes. And it was like I intuitively knew that that was what I was supposed to do. And literally, I remember all of a sudden my head falling back. Like, it was almost like somebody took their, you know, the palm of their hand and pushed it back, right? Because it flipped so quickly. And then all of a sudden, I could see. It was so bizarre. it was, I did not have sight growing up. I'm just going to state that for the record. My older sister, the black sheep, who I love with all my fiber of my being, had sight growing up, and I had the sound, which, you know, we could have been a great circus sideshow if we had known when we were younger what was really going on between the both, you know, like individually in a personal sense with both of us. But I remember sitting down and my head being pushed back, and all of a sudden this roll of pictures started to play through. It was as if it was I'm trying to figure out the best way to describe this. It was as if a roll of Polaroid pictures in a circular fashion were being shown to me, and it was spinning so fast, and I heard nothing else going on. I forgot where I was, and all I could see was this Polaroid film spinning. And so it's the roll finally stopped, and a picture would come forward, and then it would be pushed back, and then another picture would come forward, and then it would be pushed back, etc., etc., etc. And I didn't know what I was seeing, but I knew something was happening, and I didn't question it, and I let it happen until the picture stopped. And then when everything became black again, I just sat there, totally confused, not sure if I just made something up, etc. And then I went to bed that night. So when I went to bed that night, I had a dream. And I'll never forget this dream because it was so real. And because, again, these big events that seemed so little at the time, you know, that weren't clear at the time, really pushed me into this direction, right? It was like, finally, my guide gave me a swift kick in the ass, like, please, for the love of God, girl, get it together. And I dreamt that night that I was hovering. It was like my spirit was hovering over a field. And in the right corner of my eye, I could see a TV where there was a missing girl, a girl who was missing. And they were looking for her. And they were looking for her for quite some time. And then I could see her talking to me, telling me where she was buried, telling me that she was indeed no longer alive, and showing me this open field where she was buried. And I kept hearing the news reports, though, going in my head. And I woke up. And it was so vivid and so real. And then I started thinking, why is this happening to me? Am I making this up again? Of course, you're gonna question a lot. And so the next day I came home from school and I sat down again. And I did a little bit of breathing, I closed my eyes, and the same exact thing happened again. So there was like a roll of Polaroids that spent, like they were in a circle and they were spinning, and then a few of them came forward and one stopped dead center. And I'll never forget it. And I wish God I had the skill of being able to draw. This would be so helpful in this line of work. And there was a picture of a little boy with his mom. She had long blonde hair. He had blue eyes and dark brown hair. And they were on a ski trip. And I'll never forget this picture. It just seemed very, very real to me, and I could hold it in my mind. My mind didn't deviate to anything else, and I heard him try to speak. It was as if his voice was very airy. It was like he was exasperating, like trying to speak, and all of a sudden I finally heard the word dead. And I remember sitting there like, what? And I asked him, I was like, what do you mean? And he said it again, dead. And I knew intuitively. It's like I just knew, and I guess it must have been claircognizance or something at that point where I knew what was happening. Because I began to every day come home and do this, and I was starting to get messages from children who were deceased. And I was seeing from different eras. It wasn't just because that picture, I was so sure, was like from the early 1990s because of the way they were dressed and their hairstyle. And I started to have dreams associated with these, and I knew something was up. Now, there's a reason I'm talking about this. I know today's podcast is about meditation. So, what is meditation? Is that what I was doing? Did I know I was doing that? you know, how is meditation the gateway? There are millions of books on this practice, right? There are countless people, teachers, you know, self-professed experts on the topic. However, no one can tell you what's going to be perfect for you. Now, your guide, your angels will help you, guide you, because they know your soul and you're learning, you know, who you are throughout this process, right? It's like self-realization and learning that you have to trust your own gut at the end of the day, that you will have many people tell you what to do and tell you what they think is right. However, you have to kind of push those voices to the side and trust what you're being shown, and trust that indeed, you know, God, whatever you want to call it, above, is guiding you, you know, to do what's best for you individually, because you are not like everybody else. You know, that's just the reality. It's like, yes, we're all connected in truth, but, you know, you're having your own experience, you have your own personality, goals, you know, here on this planet. So, in terms of meditation, I began to start to do this consistently. It wasn't, I wasn't sitting down and doing the steps that I do now. Like, I didn't know about putting a protective shield. I didn't know anything about grounding. I didn't know about clearing the chakras. And we'll get to all of this later. I didn't know any of that crap. None of it. But I knew that when I sat down and did a little bit of breathing, my mind was so clear. I was not prone to any distraction. I wasn't thinking anything. I just let it be available. And I feel like that's the most powerful thing about meditation. So after those episodes, I mean, it led me to so much more. It was really, to me, the key, besides another really big key, which I'll tell you shortly, to being able to connect. And it really, again, pushed me to doing this work, and to it pushed me into all the experiences that I've had moving forward, really, for the past, like, 7 years. But meditation, so when I really began to study meditation, I would say a couple years after that, believe it or not, because I had major life changes, I ran into, like you will, like you probably already have, so many teachers and just so many, like, YouTube videos, like, you're supposed to do it this way. You have to breathe out one nostril, and then, you know, while you're breathing in the other one, you know, you have to take 12 deep breaths. You know, you have to do rhythmic breathing. You have to, it's just, there's so many methodologies out there. And I think a lot of them are useful, and I think there's truth in everything. However, again, only you know what's best for you. So in terms of meditation, what's the purpose? What does it do? Right? And again, it relates to how you practice and what your intentions are. There are so many different types of meditation. I think the most popular one is transcendental, which I do not do at all. Number one, I definitely can't even afford it. I can't afford it. If you guys do it, I have mad respect for you. I think it's actually an amazing practice, but it is not within, like, my pocketbook can't handle that. And I just trust that my guide knows that. I'm not right now. But, you know, some people tell you that you need to chant, you know, while you're meditating. Like I said, there's just so many different variations that it's very frustrating. But to me, on your journey, the intention is the most important thing. What are you trying to do? Are you just trying to clear your mind before, let's say, I don't know, playing an instrument, before writing something, before giving a talk? You know, meditation, in my, only coming from my experience and depending upon your intention, because if you're using meditation to connect to, let's say, your guide, to connect to the other side, to the deceased, I mean, you're going to end up developing your own method, but having a very clear mind is key to all of it, in my personal opinion, right? And that takes actual practice. I would say that the average person, when they sit down to try to close their eyes and meditate, they're going to be thinking about 800 things. And I have that as well, especially with work. You know, if I'm coming home from work and then I sit down and meditate, I'm thinking about, oh God, I got to do this, that. That person really ticked me off today. I can't believe they said that. And then I realize I've been thinking about this for 20 minutes. and my mind is, you know, just trapped with those thoughts. So when you begin to sit down and breathe, this is going to happen, right? Even if you're trying, let's say that at the beginning of your practice, you just want to learn how to get a clear mind, because in order to receive, the vessel has to be empty, okay? And that's very difficult. Like, we're the receptacles, okay? In order for us to receive anything, it's like, how can the other side, if you will, give you messages? Like, how can they fill up your vessel if it's already, like, over, you know, full? It's like overflowing, it's too much. It can't do that, right? So your job is to become that empty vessel, to receive the information, whatever it is, right? To receive the guidance in whatever format you do receive it. So it's very hard to do this at the beginning because our lives are so full of chaos. We're told what to focus on. We're told to give primacy to the intellect. We're told all of that. And our ego, that part of our identity, which we occupy all the time, is so freaking loud and so busy. It's just a mess upstairs. So just from my own perspective, and not challenging anybody else's, I feel like the purpose of meditation is to clear your mind, to be able to receive, right? To give you perspective on your own experience, you know, your own life, to help you see things more, let's say, objectively, which is challenging, of course, again, right? However, in order to do this, you have to be able to shut out all the white noise. And to me, that's what the ego is. Sometimes it's just this big barrel of white noise that's distracting. So other people will teach you that when you sit down and you just breathe, that all of a sudden you'll feel the state of freedom, peace, harmony, connect, and all of a sudden they're enlightened. You know, if that's their path, I guess so. However, I don't feel that way at all. I meditate for the purpose of being able, you know, for the sake of discipline. I meditate for being able to receive messages, to get clarity on my path, to see things differently, because obviously living in this world, you're just assaulted by so much noise, so many different perspectives and points of view. However, again, you know, like I said, there are millions of ways to meditate. So for me, and when I first started out, like I told you at the very beginning, there was no method to the madness. It was just sitting down, breathing, and not thinking about anything, not thinking, here's step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, right? And I was able to, boom, just receive. And I think sometimes the trick is going into it without too much expectation. I imagine that most of you who are listening are hoping to get into this practice to help you connect more to your higher self, your guides, your angels, you know, to get guidance and to move forward on your own spiritual journey. But doing that requires a lot. And it does require your time, effort, and discipline. And these are, what I'm giving you are just my suggestions and also my own path. So at the beginning, when I did this, there was no method. However, when I began to do research a couple of years later, I was just overwhelmed with the number of books, and I just couldn't freaking figure out what was right, what was wrong. However, the most important thing was my intention. What was I really trying to do? Was I just, again, just trying to like have a mantra, clear my mind? What was my true intention? And that was something that I had, you know, I struggled with at the beginning. I knew something was happening to me. I knew that I was getting messages. I knew that somebody, something, things were talking to me, and I just wanted answers. But I knew that sitting down with a clear mind was a path to getting to that. However, I still didn't know exactly, like, well, what was the right way? What was the right meditation? What was the right methodology to get these answers? So before you start doing any of this, I always say, what is your intention? Are you doing this meditation to trying to connect to your spirit guide? Are you just doing this to connect to your angels? Are you doing this just to have a conversation with your higher self? Are you doing this to identify what gifts you have, which is what I imagine a lot of you are doing at the very beginning? I didn't even do that. It's like, I think I made so many freaking mistakes, so many, and I did pay for a lot of them along the way. I imagine, though, that most of you would like to have a, if you don't already know, want to know what your gifts are. And believe it or not, you probably already have a clue. It's just maybe you've overlooked it for some time, or maybe you just haven't identified it as such. But I think that for many people, they know that meditating is a way to help unlock that, right? To help identify what your skill set is. I hate to use the word gifts because it implies that, you have something somebody else doesn't, or that you're special, and we all have them. We all have almost everything. Listening to the meditation once, getting an understanding of like what I had to do first, second, third, fourth, and then even looking that up, right, to have even a better understanding of that was really helpful for me. So the reason I suggest guided meditation is to help with the loud chatter in your mind, to give you some discipline, to have an understanding of like what the end goal is of the meditation, right? And it's just doing this every day, you'll get into a good habit, right? And you feel like you have a teacher, you feel like you have some sort of support system, which is great because for a lot of this is an independent journey. So if you are doing meditations for the purpose of connecting to your guides, angels, whomever, I do highly recommend a guided meditation. If you are doing meditations just for inner peace and harmony, I actually do think it's better to do breathing exercises, right? Consistently every single day, right? To learn to kind of control whatever's happening in your mind. However, I don't know how everybody receives their information, so this conversation is huge, and I'm only doing this for 30 minutes today, but I feel like there's a lot to unpack because also if you depending upon what gifts you have, if you're claircognizant, clairvoyant, clairsentient, clairaudient, then certain meditations are actually going to work better for you. However, if you don't know exactly what meditation or what gifts you have at the beginning, then that becomes the challenge. But it's not really going to matter too much because you're just trying to get at the root of what it is you're trying to do, right? Of what you have, which is perfectly fine. So, a guided meditation at the beginning and learning the steps, learning number one, protection, learning grounding, learning raising your vibration, learning white light, learning green light, purple light, all of these factors are really important. So, how do you begin to find the right meditation suited for what it is you're trying to do? Well, always check in with your crew first, your spiritual crew first. This is, for me, one of the most important things that I do, but I always tell anybody that I'm working with in general, you have to check in with your spirit guide, you have to check in with your angels, and be very clear about your intentions and what it is you're trying to do, to learn, to identify. And then ask them to guide you to the right person or place or thing. This is step one always. Now, what I'm saying is when you ask them to guide you, ask them to help you find the right teacher, the right meditation, the right tool, if you will, at the very beginning to help you grow. You need their assistance every step of the way because your ego, your personality, the intellectual side of you is always going to try to dictate ahead of time what's right. It's going to always assume it knows what's right, right? But we need the help of spirit who has more of an objective perspective about you to help you, to guide you on your path. So you need to check in with them first. Let them know that you're trying to learn how to develop your abilities, or you want to connect with them, or whatever it is your intent is, and ask them to guide you to the right YouTube person, the right meditation, the right teacher to help you with your path. That's really important. And ask them most likely to come into your dreams, and they will do it. It is your job then to write it down and trust what they're saying. So let's say you get on YouTube and you ask your guides and angels, even if you can't see them, hear them, feel them, anything, it doesn't matter. As soon as you think them and talk to them, they're there. Then you would get on, let's say YouTube, because that's where everything is free for you to find the right teacher and the right meditation to help you do what it is you are trying to do. Now, what's very important is with finding the right teacher, they will help you to find somebody whose intentions are aligned with your own, whose goals are aligned with your own, and whose teachings are best suited to help you develop, right? Because everybody learns in a very different way. There are, as I said, meditations to help you open up your third eye, meditations to help you develop your spiritual hearing, meditations to help you develop your clairsentience, to connect with spirit guides. I mean, like I said before, it's extremely overwhelming. However, at the very, very, very beginning, quieting your mind and clearing your mind is so freaking important. You have to be able to do that. If you're too distracted, how are you going to be able to get messages from spirit at all? How are you going to be able to get the symbols that you need? How are you going to get the assistance to even decipher those symbols when your ego is just speaking so loud and the intellect is just so dominant, right? So meditation is important to be able to unlock the door to your gifts, if you will. Now, everybody is different. You can't compare your journey, though, to somebody else's. Some of us require way more work. Some of us require way more practice. Some of us require way more meditation. And we all have different, all of our abilities, although some of them are, you know, the same, as in, let's say we both can hear spirit, our job here is different. You know, we're all created as a unique expression of God, right, for a different purpose. So just know you can't compare your learning against somebody else's. Someone else might only need to meditate 5 minutes a day. You might need to be the person who does the 30 minutes, right, to get to that level. However, you have to trust the guidance that's coming from the other side to get you to that point. Now, there's so much more. Now that I've reached this part of the podcast, there's so much more I want to say. However, I know I have to leave it because this has been, I think, 30 minutes, but there are so many unique steps for, let's say, from my own experience, you know, to help you grow your gifts individually, helping you specifically, let's say, to grow your, you know, your clairvoyance, your clairsentience, your clairaudience. But it does require so much practice, and it also requires, like, meditation requires trust, willingness, and acceptance. It really does, because you're working now with a different realm. You're tapping into that other side of yourself, right? That where there sometimes it almost feels like there's no rationale associated with it, right? But that's why risk and trust is, like, all of that is involved in meditation. But for me, for the purposes of occult work, if you will, even though that word sounds so dark, growing your abilities to be of service, I mean, that's why I do this. But growing your abilities, you have to unlock the door to that other side. And you have to be able to really trust to do this. Trust yourself, but trust above to guide you. Clearing your mind and focusing, which is also super important, are also keys to this. Keys to being able to unlock that door to move forward. Well, I'm going to go ahead and end this podcast, but I will do a part two because I can then, in the next podcast, explain to you exactly the method to my madness. If I can explain to you the methods that I use for certain abilities, if you will, and I would love to share with you some of the crazy experiences I've had with meditation. I'm thinking of, like, inviting a friend on because we have been working together for 4 years, practicing every week consistently, sometimes more than every week. But we both had very interesting experiences while meditating. And I don't mean, like, I never float out of my body, you know, like, I've never seen it to go to the other side, but I feel it. And there are so many, what's the word I want to use? Do's and don'ts that I profess that you may or may not follow. My friend might not, you know, follow those. But also the one thing that I have never heard a psychic say, ever, any of my teachers, nobody, because I feel like a lot of people sugarcoat this crap, is that once you start stepping into doing quote-unquote light work, it actually kind of, like, rings a bell to the other side, like, ding 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 ding, so and so is doing this, is bringing more light to this earth, we're awakened too, and we're going to begin to interact with her or him in a very different way. And I've had some scary experiences. Okay, I'm trying to say this as nice as possible because I don't want to frighten anybody, but I've had some very unpredictable, unwelcoming experiences. And that's why I'd like to tell people at the outset, like some protective measures, but also just my experiences so they know what to really expect on this path. Because while meditation is a door, you know, for peace of the mind and to connect, it opens many other doors. Remember, we are not the only dimension. We are not the only beings that exist. Everything is coexisting simultaneously. So you have to remember that this isn't a game to be played, right? So keep your intentions and your heart clear. Anyway, I digress a little bit, but I feel like the next podcast, I have so much to say now that we've gotten to this point. Thank you for listening. I really appreciate it. I really hope everybody has a very wonderful, wonderful weekend, a great week ahead. And please tune in next week because I will give you all my stories, and I'm hoping I can get my friend on to give you some of hers. They will not be chilling, but we've had some wonderful experiences and some so, you know, not so great experiences, but, you know, we do live in the world of duality. With that said, have a wonderful week. Thank you for tuning in, and I will be talking to you again soon. Bye-bye.